But to all who received the word, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of natural birth or of the desires of the flesh or of human schemes, but of God. And the word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Good morning, St. Mark's family. It's a privilege to be here with you. For those of us following Pope Gregory's calendar, in a couple days we'll need to get a new one. The world switches over its timekeeping device and a new year begins. But as Christians, and especially as Episcopalians, we have already celebrated our new year. That came for us on the first Sunday in Advent, which was December 2nd this year. For the first half of the Christian year, starting with Advent, we organize our stories and our liturgy around Jesus. And in the second half of the year, that long green period called the season after Pentecost, we respond to those stories of Jesus as the church and display God's love for us, to each other, and to the world. There's a church in Canada who has a ministry that kind of captures in a really neat way the Christian calendar. They make a little calendar every year. And if you open to the flip to the first page, you get Advent, which is 3 weeks this year. It goes from December 2nd to December 24th. They've got a little Advent devotional. And then you flip again, you get the 12 days of Christmas, like that. And they continue to do this throughout the Christian seasons. Epiphany is a little long this year, so it gets a couple flips. We get Lent, and then, of course, Holy Week, followed by Easter. And I show this to you just, it's a really neat way to kind of showcase how, as Christians, we live on God's time, not the world's time. But, like all humans, when we get to the end of that year-long journey walking with Christ, we've forgotten all the things that we started with, and so we have to cycle back to begin again. But while our new year has already come, I actually think the season that we're in right now is an excellent place to think about new beginnings and a fresh start. For today is the sixth day of Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas are one of the church's two great seasons of feasting and celebration. The other, of course, being Easter. The birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus are the subjects of the two times of the year in which we make glad tidings of great joy for the power of God's love to transform our lives and the world around us. So I invite you this Christmastide to see these 12 days of Christmas as an opportunity for us in the midst of our celebration to reflect on the greatest new beginning of them all, the new beginning of when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. St. Paul writes in our epistle today that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law. I love that phrase, the fullness of time. It's like when the time was ripe, when God intended Jesus to come. This is not time according to the rotation of the earth or the orbit of the earth around the sun. It's time according to God's mighty works. And so John's gospel tells us that in the fullness of time, the very Word of God came into this world in a new way. And this Word was life itself. But this mighty work of God was not for God's sake, but for ours. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. St. Paul says of this grace upon grace, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, in order to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as children. So why are we celebrating Christmas? Because as Christians, we have all been given new beginnings as God's adopted children. You can imagine, if you will, that Paul is imagining us as having been orphans. When our lives are captive to sin, we're like an abandoned child living in an orphanage under a harsh taskmaster. We don't belong to anyone, and no one will claim us. Christmas is when we celebrate as Christians the fullness of time when God declared to all the kids that he was coming to the orphanage to adopt us, to redeem us from our guilt and our hurt and our loneliness, and to bring us home. St. Paul writes, "And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God." Think about the dramatic change of life from doing hard chores in an orphanage to life as an heir to the riches of God, grace upon grace. This new family is not something we have earned or deserve or have a right to. That's the meaning of the excerpt from St. John that I quoted at the beginning, that all who received the word, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of natural birth or of the desires of the flesh or human schemes, but of God. This, by the way, is the real meaning of being born again, which all Christians should readily claim. To be born again means that your life is a creation, not of the human womb, not of selfish genes propagating themselves, not of human technology or human accomplishment, but to be born of God. I love this image because on the one hand, we have St. Paul telling us that when God came to the orphanage, we cried, "Abba, Father." But on the other hand, St. John is telling us that we are born not of natural things, but of God, that we are born of God's womb. We have God for our Father by adoption, and God for our Mother by heavenly birth. It's not a new calendar that is the foundation for our new beginnings. It's our new life in Jesus Christ that is the foundation, the cornerstone. And it is that new beginning, that word made flesh, grace upon grace, our adoption and our new birth that we are celebrating this Christmas. For the remaining 6 days of Christmas, I invite you to join me in reflecting on what governs our lives. Are our lives shaped primarily as members of God's family or the world's family? Of course, we're members of both families, but the question is, what has the priority? Are our lives shaped by where we work and promotion opportunities, maybe where we're going to take that next vacation, and then we squeeze God into the room that's left over? Or do we commit our lives to living as God has called us to first, and then squeeze in work and that vacation? Because when God came to the orphanage to adopt us, God wasn't squeezing us in. We weren't an afterthought of God, something he makes time for Sunday mornings and forgets about us the rest of the time. For God so loved the world that God spared not his only Son, if it meant being able to adopt us into his family. I invite you this Christmas to reflect on your hopes for the coming seasons and how your life can be grounded in the gift of being an heir in God's family. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, how can our daily activities and schedules be built around the life of the Word made flesh flowing in and out of us and sustaining us? Today we celebrate not only new beginnings, but also God's heart for healing. Our Old Testament reading says, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch." God has a real passion for the flourishing of all those who are in God's family. God is not just here to deliver us from our sin and loneliness and injustice, but also from our ailments and illnesses, both physical and mental. This is a hard thing to believe at times because not everyone seems to get healed. I want to suggest today that not all healing comes at once, and not all healing looks the same. St. Paul that says that God sent Jesus in the fullness of time. He didn't send Jesus right after Adam and Eve. He didn't send him before the flood. He didn't send Jesus when Judah was sacked by the Persians and sent into exile. The Hebrews were in slavery for hundreds of years before God delivered them from it in the Exodus. I don't know why God waits, but I know that the phrase "the fullness of time" is a clue. Some healing comes soon, and some is a long time coming. And both are expressions of a loving God who does things at the right time, which may not always be when we want them. I also think not all healing looks the same. I want to end today by telling you a story about my brother-in-law, Paul. In 2012, he was diagnosed with a really aggressive form of brain cancer. They caught it early, and after undergoing a brutal brain surgery and several months of chemotherapy and radiation, my brother was declared completely free of cancerous cells. He was healed. He went on to live a normal life as a registered nurse. He was diagnosed a second time and again was healed. We've loved all these years that we've had with him. He prayed that God would give his doctors wisdom to help him heal, and he was healed. In November of 2017, his cancer returned for a third time, now inoperable. He underwent an experimental surgery followed by 8 brutal months of chemotherapy. While both added months to his life, in September of this year, his doctor informed him that none of the treatments were anymore having an effect on the cancer. And so Paul went on hospice care. He passed away on Christmas Day 5 days ago in our presence. One of our dear friends who herself works for hospice made a remark afterwards that has stayed with me this whole week. She said, "God did not ignore Paul's prayer for healing this time. He was just healed in a different way." I suppose what she means is that God brought healing from his cancer until he reached a place where deliverance from his body of death was the more liberating and healing act. Sometimes you can fix your car, and sometimes healing means getting a new car. See, as Christians, we believe in a mystery called the resurrection of the body, the conviction that God will not abandon us to the grave, but that God is working to heal all things and restore this creation, and that this will mean the healing and renewal of our bodies, whether in this life or the life to come. It's a mystery, and it's not one that I can explain, but it fits with the heart of the God who has adopted us, who has welcomed us into God's family as heirs, who has given us new life from the womb of God. This Christmas, I invite you to seek the healing power of God with conviction and courage and trust. I know that we have people dedicated today to pray for healing and anointing with oil, whether spiritual, relational, mental, or physical healing. And I encourage you to seek them or Reverend Matt out. I'd also like to offer myself, if anybody wants prayer after Mass this morning, I'd be happy to pray with you. And I ask that we all work together as a community to be a source of healing for each other as we live as children of the living God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.